Welcome, peeps, to what could be the penultimate dose of Naked Football for this season. I'd like to introduce Phil Ham, but he's conspicuous by his absence. He's not actually arrived yet. I'm assured he's on his way. He's probably pulled a calf muscle or pulled a woman or something. But we do welcome back two guys who are set to take over the Naked Sports Show throughout the summer, and they are Phil Pritchard.
Good evening.
And The Vulture.
Good evening.
And we'll talk about that a bit later. Pretty much only one thing to talk about this week, really, as we approach the squeaky bum time, to quote Alex Ferguson, of the season. So let us know your thoughts ahead of the game against Hull on Saturday. Usual rules, email studio at icrfm.co.uk, or you can text us on 07973 851 968. Well, as Phil isn't here, I presume none of you went to Preston.
No.
So let's get straight to the Hull game. What do you think? Vulch.
Well, it's crunch time, or should we say it's Portman Road carrot crunch time.
Hey.
Yes, I've actually spent 20 minutes before the show looking at what's going to happen and how it's going to happen. I'm still no clearer because the permutations are almost mind-blowing. I think we should have got Stephen Hawking or Carol Vorderman down to explain it to us all. Basically, we can catch Watford, whose goal difference is 2 worse. We can catch Palace, which is 3 better. We can catch Wolves, which is 4 worse. And Sheffield United, the rank outsiders in this 5-horse race, their goal difference is 2 worse, but they'd need a whole string of results to go their way. Even as the most die-hardest Town fan, and I consider myself to be, it's an outside shot, personally. Hull have got, the stakes couldn't be higher for Hull, really, could they? It's going to be a tricky one. I can see us possibly getting the win, but I can still see us missing out. Phil Pritchard.
Yeah, who have these teams got? Do you know offhand?
Yes, I do. Funny, thanks for asking.
Sorry, Phil. Sorry, not letting you speak yet.
Watford are away at Blackpool. Palace are at home to Burnley. Wolves are at home to Plymouth.
Oh, dear.
And Sheffield United have got Southampton away. And of those teams, Blackpool and Southampton are still in a bit of relegation danger and have got something to play for, whereas Plymouth and Burnley haven't.
More than a bit in the case of Southampton.
Yeah, they've got a lot to play for.
As are Stoke, who are away at Leicester.
The
other way around. Leicester are away at Stoke, obviously. Obviously, I think we're asking too much of other teams. We're relying just too much on other teams. I can see Watford losing. I can look up away to Blackpool, and we see a 1-0 result for Blackpool there, but I can see Wolves getting a win, and I can see Palace getting a draw, and I think that's going to see us miss out no matter what we do. So
yeah,
it's a shame, but you can point to results all over the season. I mean, I think of probably a dozen points off the top of my head, which, for want of a dodgy ref or a got ball crossing the line when it clearly had, or an offside flag being raised when it shouldn't, could have brought us in points that would have seen us comfortably in the mix there.
And of course, the away from
Bristol City.
In fact, we're a dozen points off West Brom now, aren't we? So, you know, perhaps a bounce of the ball another way, we could have been thinking about a promotion party at the weekend.
Yeah, we've spoken West Brom and Hull right up in the mix. But then if you look at the away form, certainly the first half to two-thirds of the season, it certainly wasn't acceptable. But I had a quick scan on those of the days before I came in, and someone rightly pointed out, I think it was the last 10 games, we've won 3, drawn 4 and lost 3 of the last 10 away games. If we'd replicated that over the season, that would be a dozen points comfortably.
Again, we'd be up. But hey-ho, if the ifs and ands were pots and pans, etc., you know, and that's football, isn't it? Maybe these things will even it out next season. We'll get promoted on the back of 12 really dodgy points we've had.
Yeah.
Well, I think we've had more against than 4, though, haven't we?
Yeah, we've certainly been on the wrong end of it this year.
I know we're all very biased here, but it does seem that way, doesn't it?
Yeah. You can point to those 2 home games, QPR and Cardiff, goals ruled out, which clearly should have stood. Danny Haynes' header against Colchester could have turned the game. There was the offside flag at Burnley. There was the hit in the post in the home game we drew with, was it Plymouth or Barnsley or both? I can't remember which now.
Probably both, I think.
Possibly both. So straight away there's 8 or 10 points there that could easily come our way.
There's the stat again they keep trotting out on Sky, don't they, that no team has hit the woodwork.
Oh, Mr. Ham.
Sorry, he was breaking
his, in your own time.
Brazilian prostitutes.
breaking news here in the studio. Phil Ham is here.
Hello, everybody.
Here comes the insight, ladies and gentlemen.
Here it comes.
There's loads of it.
Here we go, then. I'll give you the first email as it's addressed to you, Phil. This is from Pabs and Lee. Does Phil think there'll be any players coming from abroad for next season, or whether we're in the Premiership or not?
Yes.
Thank you.
No, I certainly think that the club are increasingly looking abroad for players. I heard a whisper the other day that Steve McCall is looking to make another kind of move out to, or another trip to Poland to have a look around for the talent out there, because obviously the Polish players are on the wages in Poland are much lower than the wages here in football, so you can probably pick players up for a bit of a bargain. I think that we're in a position financially now where we can look at sort of other markets like Germany and of course Scandinavia, as we've heard from our Danish and Swedish based guests in recent weeks, that there's players out there that that clubs like ourselves ought to be targeting. I certainly think that that's an area that Jim should certainly look at. I think Jim said before about Scandinavia in particular that he's always had he's been in squads where they've had a lot of Scandinavian players, particularly at Southampton, I think he was specifically referring to. But Irish connection again. He's every Irish player that comes up is connected to town in one way or other. So we could certainly see them as well.
Absolutely right. Who have we got here? We've got this is from Ken Livingston. I'm Phil Ham and I claim my £5. So you're not the real Phil. Right, Simon Allardyce.
I like newts. Yeah.
This is again for Phil. Simon Allardyce from up there or down there in Bristol. Now that you've been outed as a geek.
I've discovered I was a geek this afternoon.
You'll have to tell us this. I'll read out the rest of it first.
Beware of geeks bearing geeks.
And then you can tell us what this is all about. Will you say happy birthday to the World Wide Web, which is 15 today?
Yes,
happy birthday, World Wide Web.
There you go.
And on a football note, no chance for the playoffs, in my opinion. Looking forward to an interesting summer. Go on, tell us about this geek thing first.
Someone on the message board said I was a geek. Give me that email there. That's quite interesting.
I was on the message board. Yeah, it's true.
It's an interesting email from Chris Rand I had this week about our chances in the playoffs, of getting to the playoffs. Right? This is what are the chances of getting to the playoffs? The probability, sadly, is now down to around 3%, he reckons.
Oh, God.
Which, you know, I reckon
that's
worth a punt.
He's outdone you there, Vaj.
I did say we needed Stephen Hawking or Carol Vorderman in, and clearly Chris Randall has stepped up to the mark. Well done. 3%, is it?
Chris says, obviously, you know, we really do have to win. The downside of Hull keeping us in with a shout on Saturday was that they still have everything to play for. It's Sunday, actually, not Saturday, isn't it? So I rate the likely outcome of the game, given our home form, is 30% home win, 50% draw, 20% away win. Then we either need Watford to lose away at Blackpool, 20% probability, and Wolves not to win at home to Plymouth, 30%, or Palace to lose at home to Burnley, 10%, and Wolves not to win at home to Plymouth, 30%, or Watford to lose away at... Hang on, I'll speed up, because the time's running out. Blackpool, 20% probability, and Palace to lose at home to Burnley, 10%. The Wolves' result becoming irrelevant. Sheffield United only become relevant in this if they can beat Southampton away by 3 goals or more than we beat Hull, assuming we do that. And it's true that we could overtake Palace if they draw and we beat Hull by 3 goals, but I've assumed the probability of these is minimal. So, the probability of us getting into the playoffs is now 30% times bracket 6% plus 3% plus 2% bracket equals 3.3%, which is even less likely than last week's 4.5%.
Can we just say the chances are slim?
Slimmer than slim, yeah. For us to win is by far the easiest part. We also need one of three result combinations which have a 6% or worse probability. As ever, put your own probabilities into the matches above. Your mileage may vary. Actually, I think next time I'm tempted to put a bet on town, I'm going to send Chris an email, because you can tell me how right you are. That's a fantastic piece of work, though, I think.
Can I just say my brain has just melted?
Well, You couldn't if your brain had to.
Yeah, well, yeah, not literally.
Have you got any other emails and things that aren't addressed at me being a geek or sounding like Ken Livingston? Or look,
oh,
like,
I'll read this one, actually.
Phil's a geek. What does that make our friend with the probabilities there? Nobel
Prize for Mathematics in my book, especially if he gets it spot on. I'm going to go down a book.
Nobel Prize for Football Probability.
Yeah.
Definitely.
It's got to come in, isn't it? Yeah.
Right, this is in view of, I'll give you a plug here, in view of the new fanzine which comes out this Sunday, presumably.
So Sunday, yes, new issue of those. Issue number 92, with exclusive interviews with Paul Mariner and George Burley. I think that's pretty...
Are we going to get to a century by this time next year?
No, this time in about 3 years' time. My rate of production.
Special gold-plated edition. Dear Mr. Ham and esteemed studio talkers.
Where are they?
I think it says talkers, it might say something else. What is your favourite piece of ITFC / TWTD merchandise? I like the orange away shirt from the Lyle era and my ITFC socks, not together, or at least with trousers on. If you could commission any ITFC / TWTD merchandise, what would it be? Adam Tanner nose plugs, Gary Croft flares, Danny Haynes postage stamps, and I'm one of the TW6 T-shirt, and that's love and hugs from La Mullet.
Yeah, there you go.
That's the kind of insightful football chat
that
this program's become renowned for.
I thought of one. Danny Haynes Russian hats.
Danny Haynes Russian hats. Should we tell the story, or is that going to be too boring? Danny Haynes, the Derby destroyer himself, actually found himself sitting with us at a reserve game last winter. He was sitting with us while we watched Dan Potter of More Whom Later and Phil's brother-in-law playing in goal for Stevenage, and Dan was sat with us. And it was a very cold night, and given my Russian connections, I had a Russian army hat, to which Mr. Haynes took a shine, didn't he? And he had a go on it, and the joke between us has always been since then that Danny Haynes should get his bonuses paid in Russian hats. So the Danny Haynes Russian hat, good call, Mr. Pritchard.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so there is actually some merchandising going on at the moment that on the advice of a TWTD reader and recent guest on the show, Steve Myers, the Swedish Town Fan, saw in the Malmo club shop,
right,
kids' cycle hats with Malmo regalia on. Insignia.
That's a great idea.
He emailed me and said, oh, this is a good idea. Do you think the club should be interested? And forwarded the idea on, and they said, yeah, we're going to look into it. So there you go. There's a bit of a... So that's something you may see in your club shop soon. So, you know, to prevent... If you crash into a small child, have a look. Well, they have a town badge on.
They should do it for adults as well, because I'm thinking of getting one. I'll have one.
Yeah.
Make you a bit of a target slightly around Norwich, eh?
make your journey home from the pub that much safer. There's been some appalling merchandise over the years from various clubs, haven't there, really? But
I nearly invested in one of those toasters they were knocking out at Christmas.
Yeah, they're good.
Yeah,
they're
everyone good. Likes them, don't they?
Yeah, but they ran out one time. I actually got my arse down there and went to buy one and, yeah, missed out, sadly.
Ipswich Town flight socks for the unlikely event that we go up.
Well, no. Hey, very good.
Thank you very much.
For future European run, yeah, that's good, yeah. We'll have to think of them as they go on, because I'm still not recovered from driving in yet.
Oh, poor love.
Right.
Were you actually held up, or just...
Oh, yeah, loads of traffic.
What, the highwayman?
Everywhere. Right, next.
You haven't got any more.
Talk about something then.
We've got one from Mark Seven somewhere.
Again?
Can't shut him up, can you?
I'm not lending him another tenner.
We'll have to let him come on one day. Shall I get Sven in to help Jim next season?
No.
I have to say, I had this discussion at work with a woman whose husband is a Man City fan, and the Man City fans predictably up in arms about the thought of losing Sven Göran Eriksson.
It is mad.
Someone made the point, if he'd have had the first half of the season, the second half of the season, and vice versa, it'd have been alright. It's just that they've had a dip in form, and you look where they are now as to where they were when Sven took over. Mm-hmm. Getting rid of Sven, shame on you, Sawadika, Mr. Shinawatra. And no wonder the light blue side of Manchester are up in arms. I mean, it's a massive decision, really, isn't it?
That's crazy, isn't
some
it?
People. You can look at the West Ham for that matter as well.
Yeah.
The position they were in last year, and those ever joyous West Ham fans are giving the team and Kovacic stick, from what I can gather.
That's because they won the World Cup in 1966, didn't they? And they want those days back, don't they? I mean, you know, it's a bit of a Spurs syndrome, as I say, a team who think they should be doing better.
Yeah, there are a set of fans with a chip on their shoulder, aren't they, West Ham? They're always moaning about something.
They've always got something to complain about, isn't
they? There are clubs like that, aren't there? There's sort of clubs that have been, I mean, actually West Ham probably slightly lesser than that. Villa, Everton perhaps, Spurs and Manchester City, clubs that sort of feel that they should be doing better than they are because they've done better in a previous era.
Yeah.
And they're all, if they, so if they don't win, I don't know, three games in a row, they start moaning about something. And, you know, I think perhaps, you know, they need to be slightly more...
You could have Newcastle for that.
Yeah, yeah, Newcastle.
And Chelsea until Mr. Abramovich came along.
Well, yeah, and Chelsea again when Mr. Abramovich pulls out. Mr. Abramovich.
Abramovich. Yeah. Well, to a lesser extent, you could say that about us. I mean, we've been quite spoilt in our glory days. I mean, a town of our size really shouldn't have the expectations that we do. I mean, the point being that there are towns who are much bigger than Ipswich who have never got anywhere near the glorious and marvellous history that we've enjoyed. So I always consider myself slightly lucky that I'm a town fan in one respect, but slightly unlucky that I'm a town fan because we always get so close and they disappoint me right at the end.
And the
one of Ronaldo's friends in Brazil.
And a relatively recent runs in Europe have kind of added a bit of fuel to that as well. Mm.
I'm a bit miffed that, sorry Phil, but you went to Moscow, didn't you?
I did, yeah.
I know Phil would have done. I mean, we all had to bust a gut to get a visa, didn't we? It cost an arm and a leg, you had to queue up or all sorts of stuff.
If
you did it independently,
I didn't.
I went through a company and bribed the border guard.
But they reckon that, that all the fans for the final will be excused having to get a visa, which is great. That was on the news this morning.
That's a massive downturn because, without wishing to go too deeply into the Russian visa system, it is a complete hangover from the Soviet era.
Yeah.
And to get into Russia, you do need to be officially invited. And you need to have someone to say, yes, welcome to Russia, come in. And then you need to pay someone to go and stand in line at the Russian embassy, come back with your visa. When you get over there, you have to have your visa and passport registered by OVIR. And for the Russian government, somebody to say, I tell you what,
you can all come in at once.
In you come.
If you could invite 50,000 people to come to your country, you wouldn't invite a load of dodgy mates.
Exactly, exactly. I think anyone is planning a holiday to Moscow, a couple of weeks' time is looking like a good time to do it in a hassle-free way.
Yeah, apart from there's no hotel rooms.
35,000 beds.
And they've blown the Russia up, haven't they?
The Rossiya, the home of Ipswich Town supporters for three or four fantastic days, 6-7 years ago now.
Yeah.
Eating cockroaches.
It's now gone. Yeah. There's no more.
And this is Moscow that used to have more hotel beds than any other city in the world years ago.
Well, the Rossiya was the biggest hotel in the world.
It was the biggest hotel in the world until they built another one. Which was bigger, funny enough, for the Olympics out by...
The Cosmos.
Yeah, the Cosmos.
Yeah.
Out by Vidyenka metro station, for those who know Moscow.
Yeah.
VDNK.
Vistavka Dostizhny Narodnovo Khozyaystvo, I think
it's
called.
Isn't that by Big Victory Park? That kind of, isn't
it? Yeah, it's all that kind of area.
Yeah. So we do know Moscow.
You're an Irish pub. There's always Irish pubs.
That was Molly Bullock. No, what was the Irish pub? O'Grady's.
Rosie O'Grady's. I got into trouble for spending $110 on my mum's credit card there one night. There you go, it's another story.
I hope it was on drink.
It was on drink,
Well, I was going to say, if you want to have a quick 5 minutes talking to these guys about their sports,
yes, there are changes afoot, are there not? Well, obviously, first of all, we'll talk about our morning Monday show if you haven't already mentioned it.
No, not yet.
Technical success, I hear.
Yeah,
how to answer a telephone.
Everything worked except the huge technology of a telephone, which we found very tricky. But we've worked that out, we've had people in to tell us, and.
There's the button.
How it works. Yeah.
Wait till it rings.
You speak into this bit. But 7 o'clock in the morning, I know, that's a bit of a shock to some people. Till 10 o'clock.
Where was the traffic?
I was fine, there's no traffic that time in the morning. And 7 o'clock, yeah, till 10 o'clock, it's sort of football and anything else, basically. Just send us text. Graham's playing music.
Yeah, if you want to request music.
And request music too,
request music, that'll be good. GrahamB@icrfm.co.uk, just whatever you want and fancy. Preferably not too middle of the roadish and not too, you know, classic Goldie stuff.
Middle of the road, that's chirpy, chirpy, chirp, chirp.
Yeah, that was.
Yeah, we don't want anything like that.
Yep. And anything you think is daft and anything you want to send to Phil or.
Yeah, stupid news, anything. Boring news. Travel news. I actually want sort of alternative travel news, sort of, you know, decent rat runs around town and kind of ways
to annoy round, people in the country.
Ways round all the kind of roadworks, that kind of thing. Sort of, I think I said to the other day that it was sort of travel news from the street, if that's not too much of a tautology. Anyway, that kind of thing. And from the week after, not next Wednesday, but the Wednesday after. Is that right?
Well, it depends on the playoffs, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah. So we'll see how it goes. Okay.
Yeah, we'll be,
a 3% chance, then.
We'll do our final. Yeah. We'll have a final football next Wednesday.
Yeah, and then after that, the two gentlemen to my right will be taking over to do a kind of sports-based general
Naked
show.
Naked sports show.
What are they going to tell us all about now?
Yeah, well, we're quite excited about this, aren't we, Phil?
Yeah, extremely.
Yeah, so we're planning a few guests. Phil's been very busy on his email, haven't you, Phil, with
we've been sending emails, not received so many
Yeah, it's been a bit of a one-sided. We're trying to get a few people in to talk about various things of local interest, aren't we? Yeah.
What we're trying to do is, there's still going to be a football element, certainly, because although we're no great experts on anything particularly, we know more about football. But we are, it'll be more of an armchair fan's guide to most other sports, trying to keep it relatively topical to what's going on during the summer, so... and also with a local flavour, so the likes of speedway, stock cars, hot rods,
cricket.
Also
cricket, tennis,
the Euros will obviously be on, the Olympics are on a little bit later in the summer, some obscure sports maybe as well.
Yeah, we're planning an obscure sports edition, which we're not quite sure we're going to do there, but we're planning that.
If anyone wants to email in an obscure sports, they should be covered, send an email to... send it to me and we'll pass it on, or to Graham or whatever.
And also, like Phil says, if anyone does want to come and talk about a particular sport, all applications are considered. You'll probably get on at the moment. We've got a couple of guests already booked, and Phil's been... did you leave those messages on Pelé's answering machine?
Yes.
He hasn't gone back to me yet.
And Ronaldo as well.
And Ronaldo,
he's been, otherwise engaged.
Yeah,
not
he's been
Cristiano,
otherwise engaged.
Really,
yeah.
We've got a couple of guests lined up. We're trying to get in touch with one or two people who we think might like to. Would be suitable as well. I believe Mr. Slegg, who's a regular listener and a guest on the show, is something of a speedway aficionado as well. So we might be dropping your line soon, Ray, if you would like to come on and talk about speedway one week. So what we'll probably do is feature a different sport each week and chat to the guest about their sport and then have a general sport chat as well around.
And are we gonna tell them our big name guest for the first show? This is all depending on the 14th or the 21st.
It was the really long name.
No. We have got Cambridge United Player of the Year, goalkeeper Dan Potter, will be on the show.
Yeah, so I think he took two or three of their Player of the Year awards. He had similarly to Ipswich, they have a Sponsors Player of the Year and a Players Player of the Year and a Supporters Player of the Year, an Internet Player of the Year and a Way Fans Player of the Year. I think he scooped two or three of those. And he's agreed to come on the show, and it was a bit of an insight, and that should be quite interesting.
Yeah. Getting to officially open it.
As well, yeah.
Yeah, give him a pair of scissors.
In a rhythm.
he's for people who don't follow sort of non-league football. He's from Ipswich, isn't he? He's a local lad.
Mm. Yeah, he's from Ipswich. He was Ipswich season ticket holder when he was a youngster, and he started off as a fullback. Playing for the Ipswich School of Excellence, and then one week the keeper didn't turn up or got injured, so he said, "I'll go and goal if you like," and he did well and stayed there ever since. Since then he's been to, he served his
Chelsea,
YTS
didn't he
at Chelsea.
Go to originally?
Yeah, he was there, he second year of his YTS at Chelsea was the year they won the cup in 97, so he was around at the time of Zola and Viali and Rudhullet. In fact, there's a bit in Rudhullet's autobiography where it mentions him that he bawled him out in a reserve game because Rudhullet sold him short with a back pass, so Dan gave him a mouthful. This is Dan, he was about 17 and a half years old at the time, with Rudhullet, who was a 37-year-old worldwide legend. So
he doesn't lack confidence when I've seen him play, I have to say.
No. So he went to Colchester, then down to Exeter, to Weymouth, back up this way to Canby Island, and then Stevenage last year, and this year he's been with Cambridge, and they've finished second in the conference, and playing Burton in the playoffs over this weekend is the
semi-finals.
Which
Phil and I are going next week, aren't we, to watch him in the playoff. And also he's been selected for the national game, national game 11, the non-league England side. Which is
so really, you've got the England goalkeeper on.
We have, actually we haven't thought of that.
We've had a bloke called David James
on.
You've had another Dan Potter on as well.
Well, yeah, it's extraordinary, because there's another like Dan Potter, Here
we go, from Jeffrey. This is for you two guys. Will you be covering the California Over 80s Tiddlywink League? I should sincerely hope you will.
It wasn't on our radar. But,
I just think that's quite dangerous, tiddlywinks for 80-year-olds, all sort of osteoporosis, you know. You bet on it, presumably, whether it's the tiddlywink that flies or someone's thumb.
That's when you. I think there's a potential danger in swapping your wink, which I believe is proper tiddlywinks term. I'll look into this, and you know. That could go horribly wrong on air, couldn't it?
I'd be more concerned about leaning over the table and all the false teeth falling out. You wouldn't be able to move the false teeth all over the table, would you?
In fact,
I'm going to give a bit of a plug for one of my great loves, and I'd like to know if anybody out there, or is it just me in the Ipswich area, is a fan of the GAA, i.e. Gaelic football and hurling. It's a part of the Irish bit in me comes to the fore. We may be giving it a mention on the show from time to time, because I'll be going to a few games over the summer.
Most of the town team.
Obviously, Shane Supple wants to play for Cork.
Shane Supple, in fact, actually, I've been down the training ground on occasion a few years ago, and seeing Shane Supple, I can't remember who it was, it might have been Michael Sinnott or someone else, sort of throwing a hurl around, I think is the
phrase. Yes, I've got a couple of games on
the wrong end of Vulture's hurl.
The ball is called the slitter.
It is
apparently.
Called the slitter, yes.
That's right, and the hurley, and the hurley
the command.
Stick is a hurley, isn't it?
The hurley or the command,
Yeah, I did actually see the All-Ireland semi-finals in Cork once. Great, actually. But who'd be a goalkeeper? They just come running up to you with a big stick and a hard ball and hit it as hard as they can.
Funny you should say that. I remember speaking to Phil P here, who is known as a goalkeeper in the football code. I happened to mention that there was a goalkeeper called Damien Fitzhenry, who played for Wexford, who'd come up for a penalty and buried this penalty and won the game for Wexford. And Phil, for a moment, thought being a hurling goalkeeper was a good idea if you could score the goals. And then, of course, he obviously saw a game and thought, better of it.
Not likely.
It's the fastest and most skillful field game, and it's the most ancient field game in the world, hurling. That's an interesting fact for you. So it's actually before recorded history. And it's,
how do I know that?
That's a good point, there's actually been games of hurling chronicled at around about 3000 BC, I understand. So it's a very ancient game, and to the English, a very dangerous game indeed.
Isn't the landlord of McGinty's
Michael Collins, the old landlord of McGinty's, yes, he was a hurler, and that is why he had no right index finger, because he lost it playing hurling.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah. I was always amused by that, because his name was Michael Collins, wasn't it?
Yes,
it was. And it was Michael Collins' bar, and of course it was a picture of Michael Collins,
the IRA Michael Collins.
Which shows how history's moved on, I would say.
It has.
It wouldn't have happened 15 years.
From overthrowing revolutions to running a pub.
We're all friends now.
Right, anything actually to do with football?
No.
Now we're bored of football now, there's only 3% chance.
You've got a minute to talk about whether you think this time next week we'll be in the playoffs or not, really.
That's 3%, I say.
You say 3%,
I think we're relying too much on everyone else. I can see us winning, possibly. But I think Wolves will do enough, and I think Palace will do enough, and that'll be us. That'll be us snookered then.
Well, yes. I can just see what happens is that Wolves lose, Palace lose, Watford lose, and we go and bloody
last minute equaliser or something.
And Sheffield United will win about 18-0 in their game. Actually, I was talking to a friend of mine at Sheffield United Sports today, and we're both going to try and put a couple of quid on the somewhat less than 3% chance of Town and Sheffield United getting in the playoffs. I reckon that's about, 0.3%. I don't know, I reckon we're in with a shout against Hull, definitely, because we've got such a good home record. It might depend on whether their injuries are...
What would possibly hope, actually, if Stoke can knock a couple of early ones in against Leicester, deflate Hull for us quite rapidly, and we can have a good run at them.
Or alternatively, if Hull bang in three in the first 5 minutes, then we'll all not really give anymore, and the stress is gone, isn't it? You know.
Talk about Speedway.
And now live on air, we have a phone call. Go on, speak. You're on the radio.
He's long.
Graham, you're teasing the dog.
And
that's cut off.
I can see us beating Hull quite easily. And they've got one or two injuries. Windass has got some stitches.
Is that right? Pension day.
Right, pension day or whatever. And who else? There's a couple of others that Koch is not playing.
Foran and Campbell up front from the handful, I think.
But we're at home, so yeah, we win at home. But as you say, you know,
Go the other way around. We may win, and then just in the last minute, someone else equalises.
Yeah, we're asking a lot of favours from a lot of people. Yeah. I'm still trying to think of a kind of comedy idea for Ipswich Town merchandise, really. But yeah.
Oh, we'll come up with some. Oh, we've got loads more emails now. That's typical, isn't it? We've got to go. Sorry, everyone.
We're going to nick some of their programme.
We'll read them out on Monday.
Minutes for another show.
I'll tell you what, we'll read them out on Monday. If you want to listen in on Monday from 7 till 10, if you want to contact anyone, if you want to talk to Phil or email him about any nonsense or rat runs you come up with or anything at all, he's phil@twtd.co.uk. If you want music, it'd be good if you can suggest some music. graham@icrfm.co.uk. Sorry, I'm trying to get these poor guys behind me are standing here waiting.
Leave Graham alone.
So on that disastrous note, thanks of course to Phil H, thanks to Phil P, and of course the Vulture, and from me till next week. Have a good one. Bye.